The word of God that guides us is from Matthew chapter 14. We examine it under the theme, Little Faith, Awesome God. Today I begin with a question. How strong is your faith? Do you have the kind of faith that can move mountains? Or is your faith small as a mustard seed? Do you have great faith like the Roman centurion who sought Jesus' help for his sick daughter and of whom Jesus said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Or is your faith more like that of the people of Nazareth, where Jesus did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith? Yes, how strong is your faith? In our text today, Jesus says to Peter, O you of little faith. Yes, in a real sense, he calls Peter a little faith, which doesn't really seem fair. After all the disciples in the boat were screaming in fear when they saw Jesus walking on the water. All the disciples in the boat were afraid because they thought they saw a ghost. At least Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water a tiny bit. My friends, when Jesus calls Peter a little faith, he is stating what is true for each and every one of us. That no matter how strong we may think our faith is, we are in reality all little faiths. We all have times when our faith is very weak. We all have times when we are filled with doubt. Now, there are times when we take our faith for granted because faith is so easy, right? I mean, everything's going right in our life, right? We have a good job, we have lots of money in the bank, we don't have any debts. Life is good, faith is easy. But what about the times that trouble comes? What about when the doctor says, cancer? What about when you lose your job? What about when a loved one dies? What about when a pandemic strikes? Yes, what happens when, like Peter, you're in up to your neck? When troubles and hardships and heartaches and uncertainties overwhelm us, that's when we discover how strong or how weak our faith really is. And then we are reminded that we all are like Peter. We are little faiths. Peter, the other disciples, you and me, we're little faiths. Without question, our faith is not where it should be, right? All of us have moments of doubt when Satan trips us up and we question God. We question God's promises. We question God's power. We question God's strength. And we even question God's love. All of us have moments when we break the first commandment. When we fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Yes, we are little faiths. At times our faith is very weak. So what's the answer? Oh, maybe I should berate you. Maybe I should scold you. Get your act together. Strengthen your faith. Shape up. Is that what Jesus did to Peter? Absolutely not. And since Jesus didn't scold Peter, I'm not going to scold you. You see, the reality is, you can't, by your own power, strengthen your own faith. You can't pull yourselves up by your spiritual bootstraps. What does the Bible say? By nature, we are what? Spiritually dead, blind, and enemies of God, right? So, for me to stand up here and tell you to develop your faith, to strengthen your own faith, be a mistake. Because you didn't establish your faith. God did. He gave you your faith. And it is God who strengthens your faith. Of course, all of us who have faith, that's why we're here today, right? Even if it's a little faith. But that you have that faith is a gift of God. What did the epistle lesson say? Faith cometh by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, God gifted you with faith. He gifted you with faith in your baptism. Yesterday I had a baptism, private baptism in the morning. John Connor Martin. And God adopted John Connor into his forever family. Gifted him with the Holy Spirit and Spirit-given faith. And at some point in your life, when you were baptized, God gifted you with Spirit-given faith. That's right. God blessed you with Spirit-given faith and made you a member of his forever family. He adopted you as his son. He adopted you as his daughter. He gifted you with faith in Jesus Christ. So we're all God's children. We're all people of faith. But that doesn't change the fact that inside of us all, there's a struggle going on. Right? Am I going to trust in God and his promises? Or am I going to trust in myself? Am I going to trust in God? Or am I going to doubt God and trust in my own power, my own wisdom, my own strength? You see, our sinful human nature pulls us one way, trust in yourself. And our Spirit-given faith pulls us the other way. Cling to the Lord your God and his promises in his holy word. So, we may be people of little faith. We may be people who stumble in our walk of faith. But we are people of faith. And God strengthens our faith. One of the ways he does is through struggles and trials and tribulations and pandemics. Yes, God allows pandemics and struggles to develop in our lives so that we realize how weak we truly are. So we stop trusting in ourselves and we look outside of ourselves. And we, like Peter, cry out, Lord, save me. And it's through such struggles faith is strengthened. Because what is faith after all? Faith is not relying on self. Faith is clinging to, trusting in, and relying in God. That God will rescue us, that God will care for us, that God will provide for all our needs of body and soul. Yes, we are people of little faith so often. And yet we are people of faith. And God does strengthen our faith through word and sacraments and through the trials of life. But there's something else we need to realize. And that is, even a little faith is saving faith. Yeah, God certainly wants our faith to grow, right? He wants us to have big, strong faith. And yet, our faith does not need to reach a certain threshold on the faith-o-meter in order to save you. For it is not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of the one saving you. Let me say that again. It is not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of the one saving you. It is the object of your faith that makes all the difference. Think about Peter again. There he is, sinking, trying to tread water. He's up to his neck. He is terrified. And so he cries out, "Lord, save me." Actually, in Hebrew, he cried out, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save me." So what did Jesus do? I need to see if you have enough faith for me to save you. Nope. Instead, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and pulled him up. You see, it's not the strength of our faith that saves us, but the strength of the one who saves us. It's the object of our faith that's most important. And the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. I'd like to illustrate this one other way. And I use the illustration of the bodyguard. Okay? Now, let's say that I need a bodyguard. And I go out and I get a 98-pound weakling to be my bodyguard. And this kid has no muscles at all. Okay? He's even afraid of his own shadow. But you know what? I have great faith in him. I have strong faith in that 98-pound weakling. You think he'll save me? Probably not. Now instead, I go out and find a bodyguard who is 6'8", 400 pounds. But you know what? I have weak faith. I'm not sure he can save me. Do you think he'll save me? Absolutely. Because it's not my faith, but the object of my faith. This strong, strapping dude, right? And so it is with Jesus Christ. He is able to save, not because we are strong in faith, but because he is God in human flesh. Because he is Almighty God. And he has power even over the wind and the waves. My friends, what's most important is the object of our faith. Think about Peter for a minute. Who saved Peter? Jesus, the one who can walk on water, right? Well, you know what? Think of everything you're afraid of right now during the pandemic. And let me assure you that Jesus Christ, the one who walks on the water, has walked on every single thing you're afraid of. And he's walked on what you are most afraid of. During the pandemic, at the heart of it, you know what I think it is? People are afraid of death. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ died on that cross, rose from the dead. He walked all over death. He defeated death through his resurrection for you. Jesus has walked on everything that you're afraid of. He's defeated. He's walked all over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he has won for you an eternal home in heaven. And you know what he says to you? Trust in me. You need not be afraid. Little faith, he says, trust in me, Jesus Christ, your great big God. So when you leave today, going into a world of uncertainties, a world of COVID, a world of who knows what tomorrow will bring, know this. You have a Savior. A great, big, powerful Savior who walks on water, who has walked all over sin, death, and the power of the devil, who's walked on all over everything you're afraid of, so you can live with hope and confidence as you face an uncertain future. You see, you're like Peter. You can count on Jesus, who's going to reach out his hand to you. Yeah, the very Jesus that reached out his hand to Peter reaches out his hand to you. He did it in your baptism. Yesterday, little John Connor, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that wasn't my hand at work. That was the hand of Jesus. The same Jesus that grabbed Peter, grabbed John Connor Martin, and made him a member of his forever family. And when you were baptized, that same Jesus grabbed you and made you his very own son or daughter. When you come to the table to receive the body and blood of Christ, that's not the hand of the pastor or the elder giving that to you. That's the hand of Jesus. The very Jesus that reached out to Peter reaches out to you when you go to the Lord's table and says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." You know, in a few minutes, we're going to have the benediction. I'm going to raise my hand and say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord will be with you always." But that's not me. That's not my hand. That's Jesus. The very Jesus that reached out his hand to Peter is the Jesus who reaches out his hand to you and promises this week he's going to be with you always. And then on the last day, you know what's going to happen? On the last day, Jesus is going to reach out his hand and he's going to pull you out of your grave. And he's going to give you eternal life in heaven. So with Peter, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we cry out, "Lord, save me." Keep your eyes on Jesus. Not on the wind, not on the waves, but on your great, big God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God grant it in your life and in mine. Amen.